P-0. Central Plaza, New Birchwood, New Kerguelen. After 4 months of hard work and interspecies cooperation, New Birchwood had been restored to the height of its former glory, and then some. The rebuild and renovation had given much-needed purpose and direction to a planet so ravaged by lies and discoveries of late, and it had begun almost immediately after the gate to Sanctuary was permanently closed. New Kerguelen's general population now knew about the architect's visit to Earth and had, in fact, been shown footage of their arrival on a giant projector brought by the vast human construction crew for that purpose. Messengers of all former castes were humbled by not only the sight of the architect who walked on Earth, but perhaps even more so by the bravery of their human idol Dan McCarthy in willingly confronting that enormous beings in the flesh. Leisha and Sacco, along with the former squadron commanders who Leisha always took great care to include in his executive decision-making processes, had listened attentively to many calls from their public to erect a monument to Dan and also to Terra at the center of New Birchwood. This was most often suggested for the spot from which the humans had once addressed a crowd angry and scared about the gate, and whose most hostile members looked back on that day in shame. Leisha mentioned the suggestion to Dan, who unenthusiastically said he didn't really like the idea, but wouldn't speak against it if Leisha thought it would bring some kind of continued unity. Foundation and salvation myths were often important to social stability, as was collective adulation of one or more godlike figures who weren't present in everyday life. Dan heard and accepted these arguments, particularly from Sacco, who saw value in the idea of the city containing a constant reminder of how much Dan and Terra had given of themselves, hoping, essentially, that it would keep the planet's citizens in line under the statue's watchful eyes. When Terra first heard the idea, however, she shot it down immediately in favor of one that everyone immediately agreed was a much better one. And so, on this day of the city's official reopening, Leisha had begun the morning by thanking his planet mates for the cooperation with the voluntary lockdown that had seen them return to the Great Shelter while New Birchwood was revitalized. The planet's leader, by consensus, had then ventured to Earth for a symbolically important ceremony, leaving a small group of individuals led by their planetary historian Boone to bring Terra's idea to life before their own ceremony began. The idea, as simple as it was brilliant, involved the city's subterranean Hall of Memories and a series of incredible artifacts that had been found within it. The artifacts in question were a remarkable series of 84 ancient statues which had been lost for thousands of years under the architect's distant and deceptive control of the planet. Many were decked out in beautifully bright tunics, with each one having been created in honor of a particularly respected citizen. Terra, Dan and Billy Kendrick had been utterly stunned by the colors of the statues, whose intricacy was far beyond any earthly sculptures from before the classical era. When New Kerguelen's citizens began streaming back into the city, the perfectly restored buildings and newly landscaped plaza, as attractive and wonderful as it all was, received almost none of their attention. All anyone took in were the statues, the beautiful, ancient, remarkable statues. Leisha had prepared a speech, but quickly began to think that he wouldn't even need it, such was the enthusiasm and warmth in the air. His planet mates lined up patiently and walked around the new open-air museum of their ancestors with wide eyes and wider smiles. All Leisha wished was that Terra had been there to see how perfectly her idea had played out, but he knew she had plenty of other positive things on her plate on what was a busy day in Birchwood, as well at Dortlutepe and on New Kerguelen. What the reception to these statues showed was that there was no need for a myth when New Kerguelen had such a rich history of its own, and no need for the messengers to save their adulation for anyone from another world when their own had given birth to so many wonderful individuals. Boone, their proud planetary historian, beamed the biggest smile of all as he watched children and adults alike walking around the statues that he had discovered and protected within the underground Hall of Memories. At Boone's personal suggestion to Leisha, reading education had been ramped up of late. This was already bearing fruit to the extent that many children were able to read the text on the plaques to their less able but extremely proud parents, who hadn't been fortunate enough to grow up in a time when reading was taught. This generational shift, Leisha considered with pride as well as hope, signaled an escape from his people's externally imposed dark ages and a return to enlightenment. Now that the messengers were free from the restraining caste system imposed via the radio-based elders they had been deceived by for so long, more expressive creativity of the type seen on the statue's tunics surely lay in wait. As Leisha watched the children of his kind giddily skipping around the plaza, he did so safe and proud in the knowledge that some of them would one day be immortalized in a similar fashion. Leisha, the popular leader of New Kerguelen's messengers, who was respected just as widely by most on Earth as he was at home, would never wish for a statue of himself. But in the far-off future, when the day came for his soul to return to the stars, his valor and goodness would be remembered far and wide.